Good morning again. Today we continue this series in the book of Nehemiah, and we are focusing on chapter 9 today. I've got the topic repentance, so we'll look at Nehemiah 9 with the lens of repentance, and that's the topic. If you are new to church, we have been looking at the book of Nehemiah for a while now. And the walls around Jerusalem has been completed, which was done in 52 days. And last week, there is a familiar name, Ezra. Last year, we did a series on the book of Ezra. Ezra came out and read the book of the law to the people. And the people stood for 6 hours to listen to this book being read. They wept, but also they had a very great joy. They rejoiced. And today, as we focus on repentance, I will consider this topic under two themes. One is hearing the voice of God, and the second part is responding to the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God and responding to the voice of God. I know when I say hearing the voice of God, some of you will be thinking, what is he saying this morning? In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord was very rare in those days. That was a story of Eli the priest and Samuel, who had come to stay with him. It's given to the service of the Lord. But the Bible says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. You would have had many Christians saying, for me, Christianity is not a religion. They would often say Christianity is a relationship. And when they say Christianity is not a religion, they mean Christianity is not just following a set of rules of if you can pray 3 times a day, then you tick a box. Christians, we always say Christianity is a relationship, and that is true. There is one element of relationship that is very important, and that is communication. You cannot claim to be in relationship with anyone if you do not communicate with them. A few years ago, I was in college, and we did a course called Communication in English. One of the things I took from that course is we were told that 75% of our communication is nonverbal. So when we communicate as human beings, about 75% of it is nonverbal, and they gave us a list of body languages and all sorts of things. But the other thing about communication is there must be somebody sending a message, and there must be somebody receiving the message, and the receiver of that message must be able to decode the message, as they said, and they must be able to give a feedback. And until that loop or that cycle is complete, they will tell us there is no communication. So hearing the voice of God is very key to understanding repentance today. Because we are looking specifically at Ezra reading the law, I will limit our hearing the word of God to scriptures. And how does God speak to us? God speaks to our heart. We hear the voice of God in our heart. Not like some voices talking to you in your head to do things, but we hear the voice of God in our heart, in our spirit. I'd like us to read John chapter 16, verse 3, just to give a context to hearing the voice of God. John chapter 16 and verse 3. John chapter 16 and verse 13. And this is Jesus speaking. If you are using the church Bibles, it's on page 1088. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible records, "You little children are from God and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Every Christian is in a relationship with God, and they will hear God through the Holy Spirit that is in them. It is the Spirit of God that reveals the mind of God to us. So when we read the Bible, we are not just reading the languages, the English language or whatever language you've got before you to read. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is that he speaks. The Holy Spirit is active. He teaches us. We can hear God from scriptures. So the book of Nehemiah, which we will be looking at in a moment, is about Ezra reading scriptures and the people responding because they have had God in their spirit. So when we talk about the other part of this, which is responding to the voice of God, there are many ways we could respond to the voice of God, but I would let us look at three, and one is we can respond to the voice of God in anger or in frustration. We can resist the voice of God in rebellion. And we can respond to the voice of God in repentance. And the focus will be on repentance. But let me just quickly go over the first two. The Bible says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." When God speaks to us through scriptures, to some people, when they hear the word of God, it is foolishness. They see it as nonsense, and they are very angry about it. There's a story in the book of Acts chapter 8, and this is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. In verse 30 to 31, the Bible says, "So Philip ran to him and had him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I, unless someone guides me?'" This man had scriptures before him. He was reading it, but he had no understanding. This is how Paul records it. "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Sometimes when God is speaking to people, and for those who are not Christians, God in his mercy, because God is merciful, sometimes speaks to their heart and they respond in anger. It is just like nonsense. The second response you will generally see when people respond to the word of God is they resist this word of God or they rebel. In Hebrews 3:15, the Bible says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not add in your heart as in the rebellion." You could hear the voice of God and just resist it, and just rebel, and just not give it any thought. Let me give you an example. Some years ago, I was at uni, and I had somebody who is one of my classmates. And I was sharing with him what Christians believe. He's a member of the Jehovah Witnesses. And when I shared with him the gospel, his response was, "So you mean that I don't have to do anything?" I said, "Yes, now you get it." And he was very angry. He said, "It can't be that simple." That was his word. "It can't be that simple." And so he resisted that word that he had heard. He just told me that it can't be that simple. Because it was clear to him that he only needed to accept the gift of God. But for him, it was too simple. So he pushed it away. And the third way we could respond to the word of God, which is our topic today, which is repentance, which is what I'll be focusing on. Repentance is not remorse. Let me just start by saying that. So if you look at the dictionary defines repentance as sincere regret or remorse. And it defines remorse as deep regret or guilt for a wrong committed. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrows brings repentance that leads to salvation without regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Usually when people are remorseful for something, they are sad as a result of the consequences of what they have done. Not usually because they dislike the sin they committed, but because perhaps it's brought shame to them, it's brought shame or pain to their loved ones, it's brought shame or pain to the church. So being remorseful is not the same as being repentant. They are two different things. Of course, as I said, the dictionary will tell you that it's one and the same. If you give a remorseful person another opportunity, most of the times, they will do it again. When they are remorseful, they say, oh, I'm very sorry, because it's caused every other person pain or it's brought shame to them. But then the Bible gives us a template for repentance. What is repentance according to scriptures? And I would like us to read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, there is a template for repentance, and we'll be going after this to the book of Nehemiah to see what repentance was in Nehemiah chapter 9. 2 Chronicles 7:14 reads, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. To be repentant, according to scriptures, is to humble themselves and, not all, and pray and seek the face of God and turn from their wicked ways. That is repentance. It's very different from being remorseful. And if we go back to our passage, which is Nehemiah chapter 9, and we'll examine the response of Israel to the word of God read by Ezra in Nehemiah 9. In verse 1, the Bible says, now on the 24th day of this month, the people of Israel were assembled with fasting and in sackcloth and with hat on their heads. And in verse 37 and 36 to 37 says, so here we are today, slaves in the land you gave our fathers to enjoy its fruits and its goodness. And here we are slaves. Its abundant harvest goes to the kings you have set over us because of our sins. And they rule over our bodies and our livestock as they please. We are in great distress. The people, after listening to the word of God read to them, they humble themselves. You can see they admitted they were in great distress. But in verse 38, see what they said. You are just in all that has befallen us because you have acted faithfully while we have acted wickedly. To humble yourself is not to start blaming God. No excuses. It is acknowledging that there is no excuse for your action before God. A remorseful person can be remorseful, but yet say, if not for something, there is always some excuse somewhere. When you humble yourself before God, which these people did in Nehemiah 9, they admitted that God is faithful. I know many of us, we never know what slavery meant. In the old Roman Empire, there is a statistics that more than half of the people in the Roman Empire were slaves for some kind of reason. And then you have to work hard, and then you buy yourself out, or somebody pays for you. But to be a slave is to have no right. But more painfully, this is the land that God gave them. And after they've done all their farming, and they've done all their hard work, all their harvest is taken away from them and taken to a king somewhere. But these people responded to God by saying, "You are just in all that has befallen us, because you have acted faithfully while we have acted wickedly." And that is repentance. The people humbled themselves. And the next thing they did was they prayed. If we look again at Nehemiah 9:2. "And the Israelites separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers." They prayed and fasted. They confessed their sins and that of their fathers. When you respond to God in repentance, you will pray. It is not enough to feel bad, to feel sorrowful or feel shame. It is important to pray. And that is what repentance looks like. A lot of people haven't been caught or haven't been challenged. They feel sorrowful, but they refuse to pray. The Bible says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray," not all, they must pray, "and pray." And we see in Nehemiah 9, the people prayed. And looking at that template in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "And seek my face." To seek the face of God is to search or strive after God. I'd like us to read verse 3 of Nehemiah 9 and see how these people responded. "And they stood up in their places and read from the book of the law their God for a quarter of the day. For another quarter of it, they made confession and worshiped the Lord their God." Last week, when Clive was explaining Nehemiah 8 to us, in verse 2, it says, "On the first day of the seventh month, the people stood to listen to the word of God for about 6 hours. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, "On the 24th day of the same month, while they stood in their places, they read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day." 24 days later, they were still seeking God. So last week, they all stood for 6 hours, okay, but that's the first day of the month. On the 24th day of the month, they were still searching the scriptures. They were still listening to the word of God. Repentance is not a one-off seeking God. It is to continuously seek the face of God. When we repent, we want to know more about God. We cannot just say, "Oh, God has spoken to me, and that's good." And I say, "Now you pack it." These people continue to seek God. And that is what repentance looks like. It is not just remorse. It is not just feeling bad. Godly repentance leads to joy, leads to salvation. And the other thing about repentance is, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "And turn from their wicked ways." Nehemiah 9:2 says, "Those of Israelite descent separated themselves from all the foreigners." Repentance means coming out of that habit, forsaking that sin, retreating from that course of life. It is actually having a change. I think a few weeks ago, I think it was James, there was an example given about in a church far away, there was a brother and a sister caught in the act of adultery, and they were remorseful, and given some time later, they were caught again for the same thing they were remorseful about, because they did not turn from their wicked ways. To repent is to turn from your wicked ways. And if we go back to verse 38, which is the last verse in Nehemiah 9, in view of all this, we make a binding agreement, putting it in writing and sealing it with the names of our leaders, Levites, and priests. Brothers and sisters, you must make up your mind to follow Jesus, to renounce your sins, to make a binding agreement with God in your heart, to be accountable to the church, that you will not go back to your sin. That is what repentance is, according to scriptures. It is for us to humble ourselves before God, to pray, to seek the face of God, and it's continuous, and to turn from our wicked ways. And maybe you are not here, maybe you are here today and you are not a Christian. And the Bible says, if you are not a Christian, the God of this world has blinded your heart. But this morning, as you are here listening, maybe the Lord is speaking to your spirit and you are actually seeing yourself as a sinner. What you need to do is to respond to God in repentance. And maybe you are here this morning, you are a Christian, the Spirit of God lives in you. And the Holy Spirit has been telling you about certain habits. Maybe it's about your prayer life, your attitude to ministry, your attitude to studying and reading the Bible. Or maybe the Lord has been speaking to you about worshiping Him with your time, or maybe with your finances. You too can respond in repentance. And I will close with this word of scripture. Do not harden your hearts if you hear His voice this morning. God bless you. Let us pray.